Get your Bible, if you would, please, and turn to the book of 1 Peter, chapter 4. 1 Peter, chapter 4. And I'd have you stand. Let's stand together tonight. And I'm going to preach a message tonight that's sort of going to dovetail on the message I preached to you this morning. 1 Peter, chapter 4. And we'll begin reading at verse number 12, and we'll read down to verse number 19 tonight. End of the chapter. 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse number 12. Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you as though some strange thing happened unto you. But rejoice, inasmuch as you are partakers of Christ's sufferings, that when his glory shall be revealed, you may be glad also with exceeding joy. And if you be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye, for the Spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. And on their part he is evil spoken of, but on your part he is glorified. But let none of you suffer as a murderer, or as a thief, or as an evildoer, or as a busybody in other men's matters. Yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf. For the time has come that judgment must begin at the house of God. And if it first begin at us, what shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel of God? And if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear? Wherefore let them that suffer according to the will of God commit the keeping of their souls to him in well-doing as unto a faithful Creator. Brother Billy, would you pray for me and pray for this message tonight, and then everybody can be seated. Yes, Lord. Yes. Amen. Amen. Yes. 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 Amen and amen. All right, you can be seated. The title of my message tonight is How a Christian Handles Trouble. And the key verse from the passage is verse number 16. There it says, yet if any man suffer as a Christian... You know, I find it interesting that the word Christian only shows up three times in the Bible, and one of those times deals with the way a Christian is to handle suffering. Saved or lost, you listen to me tonight. Saved or lost, all of humanity is going to face trouble. And the Lord gave me this message, and I worked on it, and I've just been thinking how it applies to a Christian, and that's how I'm going to preach it tonight. But I thought that I would go ahead and say this in the introduction. Just thinking about it tonight, it's not just a Christian, but a church. A church can face some suffering. A church can face a trial and a struggle. Just thinking of it like that. Now listen, again, saved or lost, all of humanity is going to face trouble. Job chapter 14 and verse number 1, the Bible says, man that is born of a woman is of few days and full of trouble. That's what you can say about being born into this world. And once you're saved, it doesn't mean that you are now exempt from trouble. Sometimes it means that you can expect more trouble. The difference should be in the way we face trouble. A Christian should handle the problems of life differently than a lost man or a lost woman. Now I want you to notice in our scripture portion for tonight's message, I want you to notice four words that are found in this passage. First of all, I want you to see in verse number 12, you see the word trial, and then the word suffering in verse number 13, and then the word reproach in verse number 14, and then again the word suffer, verse number 15. And you'll see that every saved person here tonight is going to, at some time, go through difficult trials. You're just going to. Every Christian here tonight is at times going to face suffering. And that could be mental suffering. It could be physical suffering. It could be spiritual suffering. Every Christian here tonight that halfway, listen to me now, if you halfway take a stand for Jesus Christ, for His book, and what is righteous, you are going to be reproached. So the question is this, how should a Christian respond to trouble? We know it's coming. Job told us that if you're born of a woman, everybody here is born of a woman. I don't reckon we got any aliens out here tonight. He says you're going to be few days full of trouble. Do you believe that? I believe it. So how should a, since we know we're going to have a few days and they're going to be full of trouble, how are we supposed to respond to it? I want to look at our text tonight and we'll see four, I want us to see four biblical reactions of a Christian when trouble shows up. Believe me, it's coming. Now, the first thing I want to say is this. We need to think like a Christian. Think like a Christian when trouble shows up. Verse number 12, he says, "Beloved, think it not strange concerning the fiery trial which is to try you, as though some strange thing happened unto you." It should not seem strange or unusual that you are in a fiery trial. It is not strange or unusual that he goes to a foreign continent, into a foreign country, and he faces adversity. I think Brother Stephen realized that, knows that. That's why he just stuck his head down and just said, we're just going to gut it out by the grace of God. And I think what's happened is we have all these modern preachers and TV evangelists and just outright false teachers. They have been instrumental in negatively affecting the way modern Christians think about trouble. You give to my ministry, you pray right, you have enough faith, you do the right things, you're not going to get sick, you're not going to lose a child. You're not, just speak the word, have faith in your faith, and God will take away the cancer. And if He doesn't take away the cancer, it's because you don't have faith. And once you get saved, God wants you to, everybody to move out of the projects and get a mansion. God wants everybody to increase their bank account. God wants everybody to have everything. They just name it and claim it and grab it and stab it. That's what they do in Memphis. They grab it and stab it. You just come from there today, didn't you? I'm glad you didn't get stabbed. But that is, listen, we have to think right because that's not what the Bible tells us. Just a few verses. Just to remind you of a few verses that maybe many of you, you may know every one of these, but you'll know some of them. John 16:33, this is what Christ said. "These things have I spoken unto you, that in me you might have peace. In the world ye shall have tribulation." It's coming. "But be of good cheer, I have overcome the world." See, I got somebody in me that can help me fight against that stuff and deal with it. Acts 14:22, confirming the souls of the disciples and exhorting them to continue in the faith, that we must through much tribulation enter into the kingdom of God. Now in John 16:33, he says you're going to have tribulation. There, it speaks of much tribulation. 2 Timothy 3:12. "Yea, and all that will live godly in Christ Jesus shall suffer persecution." So already in three verses, he says, as a Christian, he's mentioned the word tribulation, much tribulation, suffer persecution. One more verse, 1 Thessalonians chapter 3, verses 3 and 4. "That no man should be moved by these afflictions." There's that word affliction. "For yourselves know that we are appointed thereunto. For verily, when we were with you, we told you before that we should suffer tribulation, even as it came to pass." And you know, Paul said, "When I'm with you, I told you this." So don't think it's some kind of strange, crazy thing. Matter of fact, when things are going good and things are real calm, that's when you better get suspicious. That's when you better do a gut check and say, what am I doing wrong? And what is fixing to happen? We have this crazy idea, and the Bible says that these people suppose that gain is godliness. Gain in my health, gain in my wealth, gain in my ministry, gain in this and gain in that. So what we believe is that loss, listen, loss signifies not having the blessings of God, and gain signifies having the blessings of God. And many times that is totally opposite. When Jesus Christ was on the earth, there's a lot of people, the Bible says, left him and walked with him no more. I want you to understand something. When these things happen in our lives, we shouldn't go, God, why? And I preached on that this morning, remember? But maybe the question is, well, why not? I mean, the Lord Jesus suffered. He suffered greatly and he suffered unjustly. Why shouldn't we suffer? So the first thing you need to do is think like a Christian. Don't be alarmed. Don't wonder, why is this happening to me? Because the law is you can't do right and get away with it. Do you hear me? You cannot do right and get away with it. So don't think it's some kind of crazy thing that how many of you would say this? I'm going to move on to point number two here tonight. I've said this, and I don't say it much anymore because I've just learned, but maybe some of you said, Brother Dennis, since I got in the church and I started trying to read my Bible and I started trying to pray more and I try to get some sin out of my life and I try to draw close to God, I feel like I have more trouble now than ever. Any of you ever said that? Look at the hands going up. Do you know what the Bible has to say to you tonight, dear Christian? Don't think it's strange. That's the way it's supposed to happen. All right, number two. How does a Christian handle trouble? He thinks like a Christian. Number two, he should rejoice like a Christian. Rejoice when you are a partaker of Christ's suffering. Look there in verses 13 and 14. But rejoice in as much as you are partakers of Christ's suffering, that when his glory shall be revealed, you may be glad also with exceeding joy. And if he be reproached for the name of Christ, notice what he says, happy are ye, for the spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. And on their part he is evil spoken of, but on your part, notice what he says, he is glorified. You are to rejoice when you are partakers of Christ's suffering. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse 1, just the next chapter over, it says, the elders which are among you, I exhort, who am also an elder, and a witness of the sufferings of Christ, and also a partaker of the glory that shall be revealed. You suffer with Christ, and you're a partaker of the glory. You ought to rejoice in that. 2 Timothy 2:12, if we suffer, we shall also reign with him. If we deny him, he will also deny us. Not denying salvation, denying reign. It's a way that you are rewarded eternally by how you suffer. It's a natural thing for Christians to suffer. Philippians chapter 3, verse number 10, that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. The fellowship of his sufferings. Everybody started years ago, I reckon it was back in the 90s or whenever it started, they was wearing a little bracelet. WWJD, what would Jesus do? I want to know, what would Jesus do in this situation? Well, I'm going to tell you something you can put on your little WWJD bracelet. Jesus suffered. What would Jesus do when they don't give me the combination to my locker? What would Jesus do when somebody steals my Coke? What would Jesus do when somebody parks in my parking space? Knock it off. Knock it off. You want to know what Jesus would do? He suffered. You want to have some fellowship with Jesus? You suffer on his behalf. You suffer on his behalf. There is no fellowship with the Lord Jesus Christ outside of some suffering. And As I've told you here before, the more I study this Bible and I think about the judgment seat of Christ, and I think about those rewards given out, those crowns given out, and then I think about the inheritance that you're going to get for the millennial reign. That thing is not just tied to works, especially that inheritance over there in the millennial reign. It's tied to a fellow suffering. And it's tied to how he suffers. Does he suffer with the right spirit? That's very important tonight. But we are to rejoice in it. Notice what it says there. When his glory shall be revealed, you may be glad also with exceeding joy. When his glory shall be revealed, what is that? Well, that second advent, that he comes back at the end of the tribulation period, the day of the Lord, and then he goes into the millennial reign, and he reigns. And you rule over something because you suffered as a Christian. You ought to rejoice. Romans chapter 8, verse number 17. And if children, then heirs, heirs of God, and joint heirs with Christ. How is that? If so be that we suffer with him, and that we may be also glorified together. We glorify together after we suffer. Listen, this philosophy that you hear by modern preachers of the getting, no. You deny yourself now. You suffer now. You do without now. You die to yourself now. You listen, you don't gain now. Now is the time to sow. And eternity is the time to reap. But if you've done all your reaping during your lifetime, because you haven't sowed the right stuff, you don't get to reap eternal things. That's why the Bible says not to set your affections on things below, but on things above. It says, put your treasures up in heaven where rust and moth doth not corrupt. And we ought to rejoice. We ought to rejoice when we suffer for the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We are to be happy when people reproach us for the name of Christ. Look there in verse number 14 again. And if you be reproached for the name of Christ, happy are ye. Why? Because the Spirit of glory and of God resteth upon you. And on their part, they may be speaking evil of the Lord. But on your part, listen, he's glorified. The Spirit of God and of glory is upon you because you are glorifying the Savior. Listen, we glorify the Savior when we suffer reproach for his name's sake. When we take it and we don't lash back out and we just take it and we just get up every day and take it. Listen, folks, it is not easy to serve the Lord and it is not easy to walk with the Lord. And you're going to have one trouble after another. As a matter of fact, just looking at you folks, just looking at you, just what I'm privy to about what I know in your life, and there's obviously a lot I don't know about your life. There are some people in here, you've been suffering. You've had some troubles. You've had some trials. You've had some tribulations. And I'm telling you, it means something to God how you face them. It means something to him. It's very important. And we can rejoice in it because God is going to draw us closer to God and it's going to enhance our reward, our true reward. Not this stuff you see these charismatic, chaotic preachers talking about on TV. So how do I handle trouble? I think like a Christian, number one. I rejoice like a Christian, number two. And then you and I are to suffer like a Christian. Number three, verses 15 and 16. Now, what you're going to find in verses 15 and 16 is two things that you are to do and two things you do not. Notice there in verses 15 and 16, let none of you suffer as a murderer or as a thief or as an evildoer or as a busybody in other men's matters. So, number one, do not suffer for living unrighteously. Listen, don't complain about your suffering if it's caused by your sin. You understand that? That is not suffering as a Christian. That's suffering from the consequences of your sin and what you've done. So do not suffer for living unrighteously. Sometimes we do suffer for living unrighteously, don't we? Well, why should we complain about the trouble that we've caused our own self? But yet we do, don't we? Don't complain about the trouble you caused your own self. We did it. Learn not to do it anymore. Learn from it. That's a do not. Do not suffer for living unrighteously. Number two, do suffer for living righteously. Yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf. You do suffer for being a Christian. Do suffer for doing right. Listen to me, folks. You ought to be getting it from somebody. And I'm not talking about being obnoxious and belligerent and mean-spirited and all that kind of stuff. I'm not talking about that. But somebody ought to dislike you in this world. Somebody ought to be bothered by you. Matter of fact, the Bible says, woe unto you if every man speaks good of you, speaks well of you. There's something wrong with you. They didn't do that to Jesus Christ. Now, you think you're better than him? You and I think we're more righteous than him? Of course we're not. But they lied about him. They tortured him and put him to death. They falsely accused him. They were against him. They had all kind of evil things to say about him. Somebody ought to be saying something evil about you if you're doing right. I've heard at these funerals before when they stand up and give testimony about somebody that died. And I just want to tell you something right here today. I never heard one person say one negative thing about this person. Everybody out there in the funeral parlor, amen, amen, amen. And of course, I'm going to be nice and courteous and cordial. But I'm thinking, well, she might have been a good lady, but she wasn't a good Christian. Now see, some of you don't understand that. You can be good morally and nice and polite and mannerly, but not a good Christian. And she might have been good morally and nice and polite, but when she gets up there at the judgment seat, as a saved, nice, polite, cordial woman, she doesn't have a use if a snuff. Because if I'm doing right, I ought to rub somebody wrong. Somebody ought not like me. They shouldn't have a problem with my personality, but they should have a problem with my stand. Like my preacher friend one time said when he was out preaching on the courthouse square up there at Andalusia, somebody come to him and said, you ought to be ashamed of yourself. Some good Christian in one of these big Baptist churches, you know, come up there on the courthouse square. You ought to be ashamed of yourself. And my preacher friend said, sir, I am ashamed of myself, but I'm not ashamed of my Lord. So suffer like a Christian. Do not suffer for living unrighteously. Do suffer for living righteously. Do not be ashamed. Here's another do not, of your suffering in Christ. But do glorify God in your suffering. You say, how do you do that? How do you do that? Notice what he says. Yet if any man suffer as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God on this behalf. Take your Bible and turn back a few chapters to chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2. Now I'm going to give you the Lord's example. Can you think of a better example to follow in how to handle suffering than the Lord Jesus Christ? I can't. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse number 20. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse number 20. For what glory is it if when you be buffeted for your faults, you shall take it patiently? But if and when you do well, in other words, if you've caused it and taken it patiently and saying, well, I put up with all this suffering, well, that's nothing. But here's when it's something. You shall do it patiently, but if when ye do well and suffer for it, ye take it patiently. This is what is acceptable with God. You see it? You see it? It's when you do the right thing and then you have to suffer for it. That's what God is pleased with. For what? For verse number 21, for even hereto were ye called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow his steps. Notice the colon. Now he's going to show you. Everybody, make sure you put your eyeballs on this. He's going to show you how you are to suffer for the Lord the same way Jesus Christ suffered while he's on this earth. Who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. He didn't react to it with a sinful heart and didn't react to it with sinful comments. He washed his mouth and he washed his heart and he suffered patiently. Notice what it said. Who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. Who, when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not. Listen. We sing that song and I like it. He could have called 10,000 angels. You know that song? That's a beautiful song, isn't it? And I like that song. But listen, he didn't need to call 10,000 angels. He didn't need to call one angel. He could have jumped off that cross and killed everybody. But he took it patiently. When they reviled him, he didn't say a word. When they mistreated him, he didn't mistreat them. This idea, now people misquote the Bible. The Bible actually says doing to others as you would have them doing to you. But the way the world looks at it is doing to others as they do unto you. You scratch my back, I'll scratch yours. You punch my eye out, I'll put your eye out. But the Bible says, render not evil for evil, but good for evil. In other words, I don't treat people like they treat me. I treat them like Christ told me to treat them and how I want to be treated. And that's the example of Jesus Christ. And then finally, you think like a Christian. Thank God. You rejoice like a Christian. You suffer like a Christian. But then you trust. You have to trust like a Christian when you're going through trouble. Go back over there to 1 Peter chapter 4, verses 17 through 19. First of all, you see that judgment is first going to begin with us. For the time has come that judgment must first begin at the house of God. And if it first begin at us, what shall the end be of them that obey not the gospel of God? It is going to begin with us. Listen. We should realize that where he starts taking care of business, and I understand the house of God and some of the doctrinal implications and what all that means, but absolutely with us as a Christian, in the Christian household of faith, in the household of faith, the judgment starts with us. And notice what he said about that. And if the righteous scarcely be saved, where shall the ungodly and the sinner appear? Now, scarcely say that may have some application, some doctrinal application to a tribulation saint and them enduring to the end. But listen, a Christian is scarcely saved because, listen, a Christian is not saved by what they do. They're saved totally by him. And what he's saying there is, man, you had nothing to do with it. You're scarcely saved. It didn't have nothing to do with you. It had all to do with the Lord Jesus Christ. But whatever it is, we trust them. You know, we know that judgment is coming. It's going to start with us. But what do we do? He said in there in verse number 19, wherefore let them that suffer according to the will of God, notice this, commit the keeping of their souls to him in well-doing as unto a faithful creator. So what do we do? We commit our souls to him. Turn back to that chapter 2 again, and this is our final passage, and we're going to get ready to close here tonight. I want you to see this. 1 Peter chapter 2. 1 Peter chapter 2, verses 23 and 24. Let's see if I've got the... Yes, verse 23, rather. Talking about when Jesus Christ died on the cross. And you got to get this. Who, when he was reviled, reviled not again. When he suffered, he threatened not. Notice, but committed himself to him that judgeth righteously. Now, if you miss this, you miss maybe the main point of this message tonight. Remember when Christ is praying in the garden? And he says, if this cup can pass from me, I want it to. And he was surrendered to it. And he said, let it pass. Nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done. Do you know what the Bible tells you about that episode and all that turmoil and everything he was going through? It tells you this. When the thing got right down there to the nitty gritty, this is what your Savior did. He said, I'm committing myself to my Father because I know he's never been wrong. He knows what's right. And if this is the will of God for my life, I can't put my soul in no better hands than the hands of my Father. Now, you know that's our example as a Christian. Whatever we go through as a Christian, as a family, as a church, we commit it to God. And we say, God, ever how you want it to turn out, we will trust you in it. But I am committing my soul to you because I would rather be in your hands and in your control, suffering, tremendously suffering, than to have no troubles in my life at all. And you don't have any say-so or control or input in my life at all. Do you believe that tonight? Is it better to suffer in the will of God than to not suffer and be out of the will of God? Yes. Yes. It's better that we suffer. Because there's eternal ramifications to consider. Not just now. If I could do one thing besides getting you to see what Christ did tonight, is to get your mind off this world and see where it's all going to wind up one day. You realize that he's never done wrong and he won't start doing wrong now. You trust him that he's allowed this to happen and he will get you through it. And how we do that is we trust God just like Jesus Christ trusted God when going to the cross. That's what we do. In conclusion, I want to say that any time that you and I have trouble in our life, the first thing that we should do is to make absolutely sure that we are not guilty or that we're not the cause of that suffering. Sometimes we are. Secondly, we are not to be surprised that things aren't going so good. Don't think it's strange. Thirdly, thank the Lord that we are able to suffer for the Lord Jesus Christ. I like that verse over there in Acts chapter 5, verse number 41. And they departed from the presence of the council, rejoicing that they were counted worthy to suffer shame for his name. You ever rejoice over that? And finally, I ask you to trust the one who will never leave you nor forsake you. Commit your soul to the one who loved you enough to die for your soul. Let this world see how a true Christian suffers. Let this world see how a true Christian suffers. Suffer as a Christian, and one day he'll be rewarded as a Christian. Amen, church? Amen. Ever had bowed eye closed?